Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the E.I.D. Parry India Limited Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Manyal from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello everyone, and warm welcome on behalf of DAM Capital to the Q4 FY25 earnings call of E.I.D. Parry India Limited. We thank E.I.D. Parry's management for giving us this opportunity to host this call. On the call today, we have with us Mr. Muthiah Murugappan, Whole-Time Director, and other senior management team of E.I.D. Parry. I hand over the call to the management for opening remarks, followed by a question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, Sanjay, and thank you. Good morning, everyone. It gives me great pleasure to be a part of this and this call to share with you and update all of you on the global as well as the Indian sugar scenario, and also talk about the Q4 performance of the company. I'll start with the global scenario. The 24-25 global sugar deficit widened by 1.5 million tons to 3.9 million tons due to production cuts in India, Pakistan, and Thailand, while the 25-26 deficit projection increased to 1.5 million metric tons, signaling continued tightness. The 24-25 raw sugar trade flow surplus rose by 726,000 metric tons to 2.92 million metric tons, with most of this concentrated within Q3 of 2025. The projected trade flows for white sugar in 24-25 indicate a reduced surplus of 642,000 metric tons, down by 215,000 metric tons amid a shift to a deficit starting in 2026. The benchmark New York No. 11 May contract oscillated between $0.18-$0.20 per pound, finishing the month 44 points higher. The weather forecast shows above-average rains in Center and South Brazil. In the short term, this could disrupt harvesting and reduce industrial yields, but in the long term, it could be beneficial for cane development. The U.S. dollar index fell significantly by mid-March amid tariff concerns, which could influence agricultural commodities, sugar included, on the bullish side. The speculators' net short position was reduced to the lowest level since mid-December 2024, mostly on fresh buying. New York No. 11 price forecast has been lowered from March 2024, with the base case at $0.185 per pound to attract demand amid a significant surplus estimated in raw sugar trade flows. White premiums remained volatile, ending April 4% lower, with expectations to trade between $105-$120 per metric ton, reflecting the tightening white sugar surplus. While structural deficits provide long-term price support, near-term market dynamics remain balanced between Brazil's harvest progress, white and raw arbitrage opportunities, and evolving weather patterns that could impact production. The market continues to navigate these competing forces, with traders closely monitoring Brazilian crushing rates and potential policy shifts that may affect global trade flows in coming months. I'll now move to the Indian scenario. As of April 30th, India's sugar production stands at 25.7 million metric tons, with 19 mills still crushing, predominantly in UP, Maharashtra, and Tamil Nadu. While early season yields were impacted by weather conditions, improved recoveries on the back half of the main season have supported production. ISMA, the Indian Sugar Mills and Bioenergy Association, has maintained its full season estimate of 30.3 million metric tons, contingent on an additional 4.5-5 million metric tons from the May operations and the special season, which goes from June to September. Domestic consumption is projected at 28 million metric tons, with 1 million metric tons being allocated for exports. 3.8 million metric tons has been diverted to ethanol production. On the back of this, closing stocks estimated at 5.5 million metric tons for the sugar year 24-25. Looking ahead, with planting numbers looking good in the three key states and a normal monsoon, which has already started early, expected, this augurs well for the upcoming main season crush. PN and AP, however, still will remain challenged because of lower planting. So given this, or given that there will be a positive delta in crush, there is expected to be more sugar in the domestic balance in the upcoming sugar year. On this backdrop, some of the key factors to be monitored from a policy and a regulatory perspective include, firstly, sugar pricing as the new season starts, and as to whether exports will be considered given a larger crop and crush. On the ethanol side, we also need to monitor whether on molasses-based ethanol, whether there will be any pricing revisions at all, as they have not been moved up in over 3 years, despite consistent FRP increases. There's also an indication of more saliency and emphasis on grain ethanol. And lastly, on ethanol, whether there would be curbs or not on the import of U.S. ethanol will also need to be monitored. Whether the curbs will be lifted would need to be monitored as part of the ongoing trade discussions between the two countries. I now hand over to Venkat, our CFO, to take you through the operating parameters and performance of the company in Q4 and FY24.
Thank you, Muthu, and good morning to all participants. It's a great pleasure to be part of the analyst call and to share the key information of the operational and financial performance of the company. I would like to share with you the key operating parameters of each segment. The sugar operations, the crushing operations in Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, and Andhra Pradesh, we have successfully completed for the quarter. We have run about 122 days overall in a Q4 against the 156 days of last year. So we crushed about 17.4 lakhs metric tons of cane against the 79 lakhs metric tons of the corresponding previous quarter. The gross recoveries are improved. We are at 10.89% for the quarter against the 10.69% corresponding the quarter of the previous year. We produced about 1,55,000 metric tons against the 2,04,000 metric tons of the corresponding the previous quarter. So overall cane cost is about 3,768 rupees per metric ton against the 3,504 rupees per metric ton of the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The increase is mainly on account of the FRP increase from 3,150 to 3,400 rupees. As far as the sugar volume is concerned, we sold about 1,03,000 metric tons, including our consumer pack division, against the 1,05,000 metric tons of the corresponding previous year. Average selling price was about 39.37, excluding the consumer pack, against the 37.53 rupees of the current period, previous period. We carry closing stock about 1.9 lakh metric tons and the value data 37.5 to 38 rupees or so. So as far as the revenue is concerned, from sugar operations, we done about 408 crores against the 415 crores of the corresponding the previous quarter, registering a degrowth of about 2% or so. So mainly because of an account of release quota. As far as the consumer pack is concerned, we achieved about 195 crores of the revenue. This is including the non-sweetener portion of about 65 crores, and the sugar is about 130 crores. Against 135 crores of the corresponding period, previous period. As far as the cogen is concerned, we generated about 1,456 lakhs units against 1,746 lakhs units in the corresponding period of the previous year. As far as exports of the power is concerned, about 732 lakhs units as against 903 lakhs units in the corresponding period of the previous year. The average power tariff is for the current quarter is about 4.3 per unit against 4.84 per unit in the corresponding period of the previous quarter. As far as the revenue is concerned, about 57 crores for the power for the current quarter against the 77 crores of the corresponding period of the previous year. It's a good story on the distillery because we sold about 3.89 crores of alcohol against the 3.31 crores liter of the corresponding previous quarter, of which about 1.31 crores is the NA, about 2.57 crores liters is the ethanol. The realizations are good. The current quarter realizations is about 66.98 rupees, about 67 rupees against the previous year realizations is about 64.49 rupees. So though there is no increase in ethanol prices, but average realizations have been increased. So mainly the contribution has come from the price increase in ethanol in Tamil Nadu and Karnataka. As far as the revenue is concerned, about 268 crores against 224 crores of the corresponding previous year quarter. So as far as the Nutra segment is concerned, the Indian operations, the current quarter turnover was about 9 crores against the 10 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year. The consolidated level, the turnover is about 60 crores against the 70 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year. As far as the refinery business is concerned, the total revenue is about 1,019 crores. Against the 899 crores of the previous period. So as far as the loss is concerned, about 99 crores against the 9 crores in the corresponding previous period. Refined sugar production is about 1.17 lakh metric tons against previous period 2.49 lakh metric tons. Refined sugar sales is about 2.05 lakh metric tons against the previous period is 1.5 lakh metric tons. So the intercorporate deposit, which is given by the 200 crores by the EID Bank, it remains the same. As far as external borrowing is concerned, about 590 crores against the previous period is about 95 crores. So as far as EBITDA is concerned, for the current quarter, it's a negative, about 38.12 crores. Against the corresponding previous period is about 56.21 crores is the profit. EBIT before exceptional will be about 49.31 current quarter. Compared to the previous period, it is a 45.53 crores of profit. PBT is about 99 crores negative against the 9 crores of the corresponding previous year of the loss. So that's it from my side. The floor is open for the questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Rushabh from RBSA Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, good morning. I just have a question on the EPG division on the non-sweetener side. Strategy-wise, are you looking to, you know, enter this organic or chemical-free category seriously over the next 2-3 years? What is the thought process given that we have good access to farmlands from our group companies?
So, hi Rishabh, this is Balaji. I head the consumer products business. As of now, we are present in the conventional staples business and we don't have any plans right now to enter the organic or the chemical-free staples at this point in time. Maybe at some future situation we'll consider it. We haven't yet optimized the supply chain to the extent of going up to the farmers. As of now, there are no plans for that right now.
And secondly, I'm just looking at one of the slides in this sweetener category. The distribution reach has increased by 10x for the last 4 years, while the revenue has gone up only 3x. So I believe there's a lot of potential to increase the revenue per distribution reach. So what steps are we taking to increase that, you know, and what are the new products that we're adding in the non-sweetener category in this coming year?
So I think the outlet increase is always higher than the revenue increase because the incremental new outlets don't contribute to revenue in the same proportion as the existing outlets, which is a normal understanding. So that is the reason why you see that discrepancy. And in terms of new products, we are still working on our new product plans and we will come back to you as and when they are ready.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. I repeat, participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. We take the next question from the line of Sanjay Manyal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just want to understand about the availability of sugarcane for the next season, given the fact that rains have been good and water levels have been pretty decent. So what it seems that production could be a bit higher. So what could be the crushing number for us, and how that would translate into the ethanol volumes for the next year?
Good morning. This is Ashik here. I'm heading the sugar and biofuel business. Current timely monsoons in Karnataka and Tamil Nadu is giving us a lot of comfort. We are still in the stage of planting progress. Probably by end of next quarter, we'll have a good view of any upsides that could be there. Currently, we are holding a neutral outlook with a positive bias.
Okay. And sir, just also want to understand if you can give some bit about the ethanol volume and how much now could be the proportion of grain ethanol or maize ethanol, and how are the economics in maize ethanol and or for that matter grain ethanol in South India?
Sanjay, because as far as if you look at it, our capacity, distillery capacity is about 582 KLPD, so that will give you about 18 crores liter or so. Okay, as far as the composition of ethanol and ENA is concerned, so that's dynamically we'll be deciding it, which is the more lucrative. Okay, as far as the ethanol is concerned, to the extent of the OMC commitment, we will be honoring it. So balance, we will be diverting it to the ENA. As far as the grain is concerned, you are aware of it because we have only one facility at AP, that is about 3.5 to 4 crores liters it will produce. That is also depends on the whether it is a syrup or the grain or something. It's a multi-feed distillery. We can't comment anything on that. On the 25-26, what could be the grain exactly depends on the availability of the cane and the government outlook on the price increase in case of ethanol and the behavior.
So Sanjay, yes, Muthu here to your question. In terms of the economics of grain ethanol in South India, I think it's helpful for the economics when you actually have an integrated facility, because your sugarcane ecosystem gives you a benefit on fuel, and ideally, you know, we've had lower than expected cane feedstock in AP, but you know, as that situation improves, then that would certainly benefit the operation. In terms of how standalone ethanol distilleries are faring in the south, there isn't too much public data available on that, so it's hard to comment. In a broader sense, we are hearing more saliency and emphasis on grain ethanol. This is a change from when the ethanol blending program was conceptualized. In the last two and a half years, there's been more of a saliency towards grain, which is what we are seeing right now. But that said, we are moving into a period of abundance on the sugarcane side after 2 years. So given all of these are agri feedstocks, we will have to wait and watch whether this increased saliency towards an emphasis on grain ethanol will remain, or there will be a shift towards sugarcane. Again, given these are agri-based feedstock, these tend to usually be dynamic situations.
Right, sir. So just one more thing on the ethanol part. This is almost like a second year where we haven't really received any hike in ethanol prices. What is the means? I'm sure your discussions must be happening with the government about the policy, because till the time the 20% blending was not met, I think government was pretty keen to increase the prices. Is it do you think it's a halt from that perspective that there is no increase in prices? So probably this 20% probably blending will stay here and will not move forward.
So Sanjay, I think you're asking a couple of questions. I think the last time, and Venkat, correct me if I'm wrong, we saw increase on ethanol offtake prices was late 2022. So we're almost going to be 3 years without any increase in molasses-based ethanol prices, barring some marginal increases on the C-heavy price, which is not very material. So that is a challenge given FRPs go up consistently every year, and last year they actually went up by 8%. So this is what has challenged the industry and also brought EBITDA margins down significantly on the back of, you know, recently concluded CapEx programs. I think this has been, you know, well represented by the industry body to the policymakers. I think they have also been receptive in their listening, and I think they do understand. It really remains to be seen in terms of what kind of policy calls are taken around this. I can say that we remain hopeful, you know, given that there is an abundance of cane coming up and so on. In terms of the blend, I think we're up to about 18% right now. And the auto industry also is seemingly prepared for up to a 20% blend. So whether this blend will move up beyond 20%, again, that's something which is in a concrete basis yet to be determined. We are also concerned, I will say, by the fact that there are conversations as part of a broader US-India trade discussions that the lifting of curbs on import of US ethanol is being considered. We don't know the outcome yet, but I think the industry body has officially also expressed their concern on this matter to policymakers across the board. I think such a move will certainly be negatively impactful to the industry at this point in time.
Right. So in the same context, if I can just understand the economics, means the what if the import of ethanol happens to India, what would be the landed price, and means will it be so much difference? Is there significant difference that, you know, that those imports are attractive?
I think if you look at U.S. Current export prices of U.S. ethanol, I think it equates to about, I would say early 40s. I did check this earlier this week. So, you know, of course, ethanol is subsidized in India, and I think U.S. Prices are currently much lower.
Right.
So that obviously impacts, you know, that obviously impacts the economics.
Right, sir. Right. Thank you very much for that.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. I repeat, to ask a question, please press star and one now. We take the next question from the line of Yash Visharia from Mavira Asset Management. Please go ahead. Yash, sir, you are online. You may unmute and ask the question.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah. Yes.
Sir, just wanted to get your sense on the consumer products business. So how are we seeing this business grow over the next 2 to 3 years? What is the roadmap that the company is, you know, envisaging on this business?
Yeah, so hi, Yash. So the consumer product business, our focus on the consumer product business will continue with sustained aggression on distribution growth and volume growth. Branded packaged food business in India is growing at about 12% annually. We will be trying to beat that estimate in terms of our growth rates, and we will continue to keep focused on building the brand and driving the distribution.
Sure, sir. So are we focusing on any specific geographies like only South India, or we want to grow pan-India? How are we seeing the growth?
So right now we are present in the south of India, and as the market demand picks up, we will be expanding across to other geographies. Right now we are present in the south of India.
Okay. And sir, are we planning to tie up with any of the giants like say DMart or any other quick commerce for pick up in the volumes?
So these are channels, and we don't do tie-ups with them, but we are present in all these channels. In e-commerce and DMart, our products are being sold. Like a conventional channel, we will be managing them.
Understood, sir. Understood. So, sir, basically apart from sugar and distillery, can we say that maybe 3 or 5 years down the line, the consumer products business will be one of the important core segments for the company, in the growth?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. I repeat, participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. We take the next question from the line of Ritwik Sheth from One Up Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, sir. Sir, just a couple of questions. So firstly, on the debt front, sugar business and refinery, would it be possible to give the split for long-term and short-term debt?
Yeah, Ritwik, as far as the sugar business is concerned, we have about 850 crores as a short-term debt, about 205 crores is the long-term debt. So as far as the refinery business is concerned, about 590 crores is the short-term debt, and the 200 crores will be the long-term debt. So long-term debt is basically from the ICD, which is given by EAD Bank.
Right, right. So external debt is only 590 crores, which is completely short-term.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, what is the outlook on the refinery debt and refinery business as well for FY26, if you could give us some flavor on that?
Ritwik, Suresh Kannan here. I think the refinery business went through challenging times in the second half of FY25, basically on account of the fall in the drastic fall in the white premium that happened because of increased supply that came out of European Union, Ukraine, and to some extent out of Pakistan as well. Going forward in FY26, there is a spillover effect of that as we start the financial year. However, as what Muthu explained in his commentary, there is a tightening of the supply chain that's happening on the refined sugar is concerned. And, most refineries took break because of this low white premium situation. So there is a correction as far as the supply side is concerned. So we are seeing the white premiums going back. May not be up to the levels that what we witnessed in FY24. But definitely much better than the FY25 level. So that will increase the run rate of the refining operation. That will also help us to service the short-term debt effectively.
Okay, got it. And sir, on the crushing, I'm not sure whether you mentioned in the opening remarks, but what is the crushing that we expect for FY26 for EID Barry?
Ritwik, normally we will not tell about the futuristic, but I was Ashik mentioning that this time the monsoon is good, but we can come back to you maybe in the September or something, what should be the probable crushing.
Thank you. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. Next question is from the line of Manoj Shah from LaxGov Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Just wanted to check on what will be the capacity utilization for ethanol, because we have recently new capacities have come, and what do you expect in FY26 capacity utilization?
Hi. As Venkat pointed out, we have 582 KLPD. We are currently running at about 90% plus capacity utilization. We expect that to continue, and our endeavor is to move the needle substantially up, because this business, the benefit is there in utilizing our assets efficiently, and we have an opportunity unlike the sugar business. So 90% to 95% is the kind of capacity utilization we are looking at.
Okay. Regarding the sugar refinery, there was some impairment taken up in this year. Can you comment a little bit on that? Is it why the impairment has been taken? And also there is some news that government will have some control over raw sugar. Also there are some news, if you can comment on that.
So I'll take the first one. There's been a infusion which has been made, and that is for debt reduction and, you know, improving the net worth. At the same time, the impairment has also been taken because of the challenged financial performance of the business. You have seen the spreads. I think Suresh Kannan spoke about it, have drastically come down. This has led to, as Venkat described, a very weak financial performance, so we were required to take this impairment.
So basically, you have assessed the future cash flows to be lower than the book value, so you have taken impairment based on that?
Yes, it's future cash flow based formula which has been used, yes.
Okay, and second part on this raw sugar, there is some news that the government would have some control over on that as well. There is some news. You can comment on that.
Suresh, you might want to comment. I'm not.
The government,
I don't think so.
In the sugar control order, they have brought in some amount of control in declaring the raw sugar with the manufacturers. And also they have brought units larger than, I think, 500 TCD for jaggery crushing, Kandasari into the ambit. We believe both are welcome move to make the sugar balance numbers and create a level playing field amongst various players. And as an organized players, we are open to the direction in which they are moving.
I'm not sure there's much of an implication on the refinery. I don't know, Suresh Kannan, you want to clarify?
Yeah, yes.
This sugar control order is basically for governing the domestic production.
Yeah.
As the refinery is entirely on export. So either imports through advanced license or through special economic zone, these do not come under the purview of this control order. So we are free to export.
Okay. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Manasri from ICICI Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. I would like to know from the sugar segment, what, like, if you can highlight on what have been the key reasons because of which there has been the negative income, and how is exactly IDSARI planning on mitigating this in the upcoming financial year?
Can you stop the background noise? She is coming. We are not able to hear you properly.
One second. Is it better now?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Can you please ask your question again?
Yeah. I would like to know if you go for the sugar segment, like if you can highlight what are the key reasons because of which there has been negative income for the FY25, and how is the IIT Pari planning to mitigate the same in the upcoming financial year for the sugar segment?
I will try to take the question. Fundamentally, the challenge has been on sugar realization because the government has been holding the MSP while the FRPs have been going up year on year. As already pointed out, we continue to shift our portfolio towards refined sugar and institutional sales, coupled with our foray into consumer products. these should shore up the realization to help us manage the pressures on cost line. The other challenge we continue to face is on the release quota. The government has a particular methodology and they have been refining it over years in terms of giving us a quota of sugar that we can sell. We continue to work with the policy makers in terms of helping the industry in giving higher release quota, which will automatically take care of the business pressures. The last one is obviously from the supply side. As already pointed out by a gentleman earlier, we have a positive bias towards cane availability, and increased crush days will also leverage the cost in the P&L and will give better results. Broadly, at a large view, these are the three ways in which we have we are looking at approaching in terms of resolving the pressure.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Yash Visharia from Mavara Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. So just sorry if that's a repeat question, but with respect to this subsidiary, Perry Sugar Refinery India Private Limited, so we have an exceptional item of 427 crores for the year of FY25, and we are again infusing around 350 crores in the same subsidiary. Is that understanding correct?
That's correct.
Okay. That's right. So what is the reason for writing off 427 and again reinfusing the such big amount in the same company?
I think Yash covered this earlier. The impairment has been done on account of poor financial performance. I think that was looked at, and I think we were required to take that impairment. In terms of the infusion, it is to strengthen the net worth of the company and also bring about some debt reduction. This is the reason for the infusion.
Understood. Okay. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to remind participants that they may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Manoj Shah from LaxGov Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, my question is, to make the sugar business viable, how much the minimum selling price should be increased? Like you are searching in the market somewhere around 37, 38 rupees, and based on your cost of production, how much it should be increased so that the sugar business becomes viable?
Sir, do you want to go first? Yeah.
Right.
No. So Manoj, I think if you ask that question to industry, I think we'd have a really really big ask around that one. You know, you look at most commodities. Pricing, even if you look at the domestic bill, oil and ghee and whatever else, pricing has significantly moved up in the last 5-10 years. Sugar, unfortunately, has remained very range bound, and the sort of window shortens between the FRP increase and the price. So I think this has constantly been represented to the policymakers. I would say something into the early 40s would only be near meaningful. However, it still continues to be a deliberation with them on the MSP. So we'll have to wait and watch if anything is considered at all.
So do you expect anything to come before this next sugar season starts?
No, I think it's not come around for quite some time. It continues to remain a deliberation. I think if you Ashik spoke about release quotas, there's also, export allocations, ethanol diversions.
Yes.
These are how the sugar balance and pricing is really managed in our country. It's also essential commodity. Maybe it's perhaps in their own own right policymakers also have intent to keep pricing affordable and range bound. So it will continue to remain a deliberation. I think there are areas wherein which we are hopeful policymakers will make some positive upward revisions. But also with programs like EBP, so on and so forth, they have been good moves made by them as well to strengthen the health of the industry.
But can you comment that through ISMA you are in some active dialogue with government on this, or it's nothing of happening on this front as such? Any representation from industry through ISMA?
So Sanjay, MSP has always been a point which ISMA has taken up with the authorities, and they've always given us patient hearing. It's never off the table in terms of discussion.
Okay, and in light of higher sugar production for next sugar year, how do you see the movement in prices? Because you will have a higher cane production, which may again further depress the sugar prices. So how the profitability, this will impact the profitability?
So if you go back to my opening comments, I stated this as the first point to watch out for, precisely what you have rightly picked up also now. Yes, with more sugar coming into the balance, and with these kind of release quotas and, you know, sugarcane ethanol not being given as much of an impetus, there is certainly a risk of downward sliding of prices. Now, which is why perhaps into Q4 FF26 and Q1 FF27, and Q1, Q2 FF27, having an export program, will certainly be something I hope the policymakers will consider strongly to ensure that pricing remains reasonable for us, for the processors.
Any indication on ethanol blending program moving higher from 20 to 25 or higher than 20%?
Again, as mentioned earlier, you know, this is a conversation. As far as we know, the auto industry is certainly prepared for a 20% blend. Beyond 20%, I'm not sure if we have enough insight whether they are prepared. There's also talk of flex fuel and higher blends, but these are in smaller pockets. But up until 20%, I think the industry is prepared. We're at 18 right now. We still have to catch up 2%.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for your patient listening. We look forward to meeting again during our Q1 F26 results in a few months' time. Thank you.
On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.